values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Coming up in about, probably 10 or 15 minutes from right now, we're going to talk about vaccine mandates because we are talking about mask mandates possibly coming back, or at least the suggestion of indoor masking, even for vaccinated people, through the Biden administration. So all that's coming up in just a few minutes. But first, a local story about gaming. Arizona event wagering is set to go live September 9th. The rule changes are in place, or the rules have been set in place, and it's kind of expanded the gaming compact for the tribes, and it doesn't really end there. We know that the major sports franchises, the Cardinals, the Diamondbacks, the Coyotes, and the Suns, are going to be allowed to have sports books on property. And so that's going to change a lot about how they do business. It's going to help with revenue streams. You know, and so this is kind of a sidebar, and I would say the least important of all of them, but I think it's also going to give the teams the ability to make more money. Not every state in the union is doing this yet, and so with the sports teams able to have sports books on property, is it going to be possible for the teams to have better revenue and possibly be able to work a little harder at getting players in and doing things of that nature, spending more money, reinvesting, those kind of things? So it is an interesting conversation when it comes to sports gambling. But, you know, the casinos are going to be opening up more. They're going to have games like Baccarat and Craps. They'll have Live now, which they're not allowed to have in the current gaming compact. Over the years, these compacts are renegotiated every certain amount of years, and it's got to go through a state thing, and it goes through a federal thing because it's just, you know, tribes are sovereign nations, and it's agreements with the federal government as well. But we've watched it change over the years. Years and years ago, you didn't even have live blackjack in casinos. They had a different kind of a weird 21 game. To be honest with you, I don't know what the incremental changes are. I don't know why they had some games and not others. And to most people, this is not going to impact their lives whatsoever. If you don't go to the tribal casinos, then none of this is going to make a difference to you anyway. But for the people out there that like to go to Vegas and they like to gamble on games and events, you're going to have an opportunity to do that at multiple locations, kiosks at certain places like the American Legion and things of that nature. But you're going to have it also on tribal land at the casinos are going to be making big room in many places for sports books. And it's going to be more and more and more like a Vegas style casino resort. Now, the big concern when they legalized gaming in Arizona was that we were going to start seeing all of these, you know, resorts, and I don't think we're at any of the resorts in Arizona want to turn into that. There is already a compact and agreement between the state of Arizona and tribes on how they can, the gaming is on that tribal land. And so you can't necessarily break that unless you do a new compact. And it looks as if in the new agreement, none of that's going to happen. There is going to be some gambling now on sports betting allowed, obviously, off of the casinos outside of the tribal land. But for the most part, it's going to be there. I'm interested to see how this plays out. I have no problem with this. I'm pretty vocal about going out and enjoying the resorts here in town. I'm a big fan of Talking Stick. I go pretty often, go into the poker room a lot. I've been there, on the weekend. Sometimes I like to go and play and hang out. And I think they do a great job. And I think the atmosphere that we all look for, the reason why on the weekends you can see so many people. How many times have any of us gone to Vegas and run into somebody we know from Phoenix? It's not a very far drive. I drive it in 5 hours. And you can get over there and have a really good time, have a great weekend, relax. And the atmosphere inside those facilities, if you want to go, and I have friends that make a trip every year for Super Bowl, they go to Vegas to go into one of the big sports books to watch the games. And it's almost like camping out for Black Friday. You know, you're talking about getting there at early in the morning for a game that's not played until the evening to get a seat somewhere inside the sports book. And so a lot of people do that, and they do it so that they can enjoy that atmosphere. Imagine being able to create that kind of atmosphere here. Imagine what being able to recoup some of the losses for spring training when spring training is back, and along with spring training is the ability to bet on sports and what revenue that's going to add. I don't see a downside to this. I do understand when people say there are people that have addictions to this like anything else. I agree with you. Listen, I will never diminish nor will I downplay addiction. It's not something to be made fun of. It's affected my family in many ways. So whether it's a gambling addiction, a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction, whatever it is, we don't limit other things because there are those that have a problem with it. What we do is we try to help people overcome that addiction, and we want to give them the resources that are necessary. I don't know that any of this, I don't know that this increase is going to do damage to people. I don't know that. I think overall for Arizona, it's going to be a good thing. I think they've done a good job of navigating what the concerns were for people, where we were going to have slot machines and Circle K's and resorts, and it's not going to be that way. And the sports books are going to be already where gambling is done. It's a multi-billion dollar business that's done a lot of times through bookies and through what are, you know, illegal sources, although most people consider that vice to be the least serious of all of them. It's still illegal, and the government's not getting tax revenue. From this, they will be getting generating a huge tax revenue. So I think this is going to be something that's going to be beneficial. It's going to add to the experience for people. I'm not a sports gambler. I am because I vote with my heart. I don't want to look at the point spread and say I want my team to win, but I want them, you know, to make sure they beat the spread. I don't want to do that. So I don't bet on sports. But for other people, it adds to the experience. Going let's say to the Diamondbacks. Imagine making some of those what they call prop bets, proposition bets, which are bets not just wins and losses, but you know who's going to do this, how long can a no hitter go, what about this. So you stay until the end of the game. You stay until those later innings to find out if you win or you lose. You can cash out your ticket. It keeps butts in seats longer. It's another reason for people to engage. And a lot like fantasy sports. Fantasy sports have done a lot for overall leagues because even bad teams are watched more because players on those teams are part of fantasy leagues. It's one more way for the different sports leagues to keep and engage fans. And I think this is another one of them. And I think there's a lot of upside. We're going to get it September 9th, it looks like, that the road is paved for that to happen, that they meet their deadline date. Coming up in a moment, vaccine mandates. Are they on the horizon? There's at least one news story that says yes. And the White House with a new mask recommendation. All that coming up next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Live Nation celebrates the return to live concerts by offering fans $20 all-in tickets. See bands like Maroon 5, Jonas Brothers, Dierks Bentley, and more for only $20. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. Just head over to the contest page at KTAR.com for complete details. Want to talk about masking and mandates. The White House has come out with a new advisory that they are saying that in areas of high infection and low vaccination rates, so I guess you got to go on and look for the zip code you're in, wherever it is, if you are vaccinated, they're recommending you put a mask on. I have to tell you, the mixed message drives me crazy. A friend back in Texas who does a show with Bex Network, her name is Sarah Gonzalez on the Blaze Network, posted, the vaccine works, you should get it, but you'll still have to wear a mask. But you'll still get COVID and be quarantined, but you'll still have to force everyone else to get vaccinated so you feel better. But the vaccine definitely works, so you should get it. It's satire, but it's the message that's out there about this vaccine to the unvaccinated. To the people that it made sense to, I was one of those. It was a no-brainer for me to get vaccinated. I had no issue with it. Again, you know, I don't know if it's, I'm just an outlier, I guess. I think for myself, I have strong convictions. I am a card-carrying, proud voting Republican conservative, have been for a very long time, haven't changed my views on things. When it came to the vaccine, I did my due diligence. I called my doctor who was a part of the studies. I called another doctor who's a friend of mine. Both of them were behind the vaccine, especially the Pfizer vaccine, thought that it worked, thought it was great, thought it was worthwhile. So I did it. But there are those out there that have questions, and there are those out there that have doubts and reservations. There are those out there that will just never do it. That's America. You take the good with the bad, and you can't take away people's freedoms and then call it in the name of life-saving and everything else. It's nonsense is what it is. It's craziness. And that's what's happened. I saw this story, and to my first responder friends out there, we've always owed you a thank you. You know, I think that the job that first responders do, running into situations that we run away from, is an amazing job. You know, firefighters, and we've seen some of the major fires we've had here in recent months with, recycle yards and other things, house fires. They do an amazing job in saving people's lives. Police officers and the dangerous work that they do, but they are considered frontline workers. They don't have an option many times. They're not going to have time sometimes to mask up or ask the person they're in contact with to mask up when it's a life or death situation. That's what they do. I mention that because here is a story about the Detroit public school system. They've reached an agreement with the teachers union there that will offer up to $2,000 in staff hazard pay because of COVID-19. Every cop that's listening right now just said a word I can't repeat on the air. Every one of them. There was an uptick in cases among police officers during the protests and other things that were going on. Because even though they were limiting jailing suspects and other things and limiting as much as they could interactions with the public as police officers, there are times you can't prepare for when you are face to face with people, when you come in physical contact with people, when you have to make arrests of people, you're in very close quarters with people, and things happened. And there was a huge spread of COVID-19 within the police agencies across the valley. The same with firefighters/paramedics. You coming contact with sick people, you can mask up, you can do a lot of things to protect yourself, but the public isn't, and you're dealing with patients. So we saw those, and we still see those professions deal with COVID-19 outbreaks. The teachers union in Detroit has negotiated hazard pay. I've talked about this at length here. In the state of Arizona, teachers, much like first responders, it is a violation of their contract to call in sick, to do a sick out or to strike or do a walkout. And yet the teachers have done it many, many, many times. Not all of them, but enough of them to shut down schools on a moment's notice. We've watched this happen. The COVID-19 fight about they're not going to die and they're not going to watch children die. No matter what the numbers say about kids, they say children are dying. And the head of one of the major teachers union, the AFT, the American Federation of Teachers, most recently has said that millions of people are going to die because of the bad decisions made in Florida and other places. The criticism of our governor for not allowing school districts to individually mandate in their district based on their political views, by the way. They can talk about consulting physicians, but as far as I am concerned, parents are smart. And if you're a parent and you're in a school district and your child is at risk, put them in a mask. Well, the funny thing was, I said, well, if a kid chooses to wear a mask or a parent makes them, you know how those bullies are. They will bully kids that are wearing a mask. And I thought, do you have some pretty short memories? There's been plenty of bullying from people that wear masks to the people that don't. So there could be just as many kids out there bullying kids for not wearing masks. But that's the excuse for a mask mandate. So to avoid that happening, the governor said we are not going to allow mask mandates. But what you're doing is you're putting the trust back into the hands of the parents. Let the parents decide what's best for their child. And if your child is at risk, then you should take precautions. That's the way it's always been. It has always been that way. I don't know how COVID-19 changed that narrative. I want you to hear very quickly an NBC, part of an NBC report. This is about the new mask guidance that's coming out from the White House.
According to sourcing from NBC News, we are hearing that the Biden administration is likely to come out with a change in mask guidance, potentially in areas of high transmission, recommending that even fully vaccinated folks in certain areas wear masks indoors. This would be a reversal from the CDC's guidance that anybody who's fully vaccinated doesn't need to wear a mask indoors.
The mixed message, and you know, I keep beating that dead horse, but that is a mixed message. Get the vaccine, because when you're vaccinated, It's well over 90% chance you're not going to get infected with COVID-19. But if somehow this Delta variant gets you and you get infected, the vaccine is going to stop you from having very serious illness, needing hospitalization, and it prevents death. That's how good this vaccine is. Everyone should get the vaccine. Oh, wait a minute. Unvaccinated people now can do this and do this and do this and do this. So now in high areas of transmission, we're going to have you wear masks again. Why would someone that is young and healthy and already has an overwhelming chance of not getting very sick or dying from COVID-19, why would they run out and get it when we're hearing all these things about how it doesn't matter? You have to wear a mask anyway. That's what the public will hear. That is the message, and it will slow down the vaccination rate. They're trying to inconvenience people enough and pit one person against another. That's my belief. That now the masked or the vaccinated among us will be screaming at the unvaccinated because we have to put masks back on because you won't get vaccinated. It's not the way it should work. Not the way it should work. And it's my hope that it doesn't happen. The election auditors are making demands. We had one of the county board of supervisors on with us, a supervisor on. We're going to talk with you, let you hear what was said with him and kind of update you on what they're asking for next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. The audit has taken another turn. The state Senate is subpoenaing more information from the County Board of Supervisors, stuff that they say that they've asked for in the past that they have not gotten, including the routers and some envelopes and some voter information. So I want you to hear the list of things. This morning, Bill Gates, who is a member of the Board of Supervisors, gave us a list of what they are asking for.
They're asking for the routers, which there have been a lot of discussion about. In fact, the former president mentioned it in his speech on Saturday. Some of the passwords to the election machines. Again, that's something that we've heard about. Some other voter registration type of information, and then the ballot envelopes for the people who chose to vote by mail.
So those are some of the things that they are asking for, and what they are going to give over. They have got a reply by next week, and they are deciding what they are going to do. How much have they given over? And asking about turning over the routers, because that has been the biggest piece of this. They want the routers. And I'll talk a little bit about what I know about these routers in a moment. But this is what Mr. Gates said.
We've been incredibly transparent in this, turned over unbelievable amount of information. But if there's a determination that turning over these routers is going to threaten the safety of law enforcement, and that it would be turning over personal information, you know, as one supervisor, that's where I draw the line.
And so let's talk about the routers for a moment. Much like the voting machines, there were questions from the state of Arizona based on the concerns of a lot of people about the machines themselves, the hardware in the machines themselves, and the software that operated those machines and compromising of those things. They wanted an audit. So the County Board of Supervisors had those machines checked. The state has said, we don't think the company that you hired to audit those machines was qualified to do what we needed them to do and get the information that might be in there that we need. So they subpoenaed the machines. When it came to the routers, the county said, and this is what I think is interesting about this, is the sheriff of Maricopa County is a Democrat. His name is Paul Penzone. He spoke out about this, but so did the county attorney, who is a Republican, a staunch Republican. Both of their offices have said the IT people and their departments are saying that turning over these routers can compromise and open the county up to hacking. And it's not only the county, but everybody they do business with, and that it's too much of a risk to give them over. So that's why the sheriff and the county attorney's office said they're not going to give up their routers. So the county did their own audit. Again, the concern is, did the election machines or the servers for counting votes, were they ever connected to the internet? Now, the former county recorder said no. The current county recorder said, from what he has seen, no. And the county board of supervisors said they did their own investigation and hired someone to look at the routers. And there is no evidence, and that they would say even more than that, it proves that the elections were never connected to the internet. The county is now saying your audit is not good enough. Again, we want those routers. So will they get them? And that's what's concerning, is what happens if they get them. I understand, and this is part of what I think some of the people involved in the audit, not all, but some of the people involved in support of this audit are not really being aware of the perception that they have created. Not that's been created around them, that they have created. The state of Arizona, the state Senate in Arizona, so therefore by default we elected them, the state of Arizona has said, we do not trust those voting machines. Those Dominion machines we do not trust. Okay, they turn over the machines. They were warned by the county and the Secretary of State's office, if unqualified people, uncertified people, go into those machines with whatever they're going to go into to audit, forensically check out, whatever they are, those machines will be rendered null and void and can't be reused. And they did it anyway. So then the county, with the support of the Secretary of State, said, we cannot reuse those machines. And everybody associated with the audit said, well, that's just politics. You're crazy. You can use those machines. And I threw my head back and laughed. And I said, we started this because you don't trust those machines. You don't like those machines. You don't trust those machines. And now you're mad at the county for agreeing with you. It's ridiculous. The perception you've created is you are just going to be argumentative about everything. Why aren't you relieved that those machines aren't going to be used anymore if you think they were compromised? Why aren't you relieved? That's part of it. Here's a couple of other things. The passwords that they are looking for. The passwords that they want, according to Bill Gates, is that they gave over the passwords, the user passwords that they had originally. But now they said the Senate has subpoenaed Dominion, who owns the voting machines, for the operator codes or whatever they're called, the operator passwords, for the ownership of those. Now, whether or not the Dominion company feels compelled or is compelled to comply with this, I don't know. But that's going to be the next legal battle. But I'll go back to the question I asked earlier today, and it's a very, very good question, and there may be an answer. I don't know it, which is why I'm asking the question. So if there is somebody out there listening that is directly involved in this audit, please answer this question. If you have the physical ballots of everyone that voted in Maricopa County, why can't you find the fraud by looking at the ballots? You looked at the kind of paper that was used. You looked for watermarks. You hand counted and triple checked every single vote. Why wouldn't you be able to find fraud in that way? What do you need the machines for? It's not as if we've gotten a report that says, here's the deal. We originally, it said that Biden won by this many votes. We found this many ballots that were wrong. Now we want to find out what those machines did. We're not hearing any of that. But why can't you find the fraud you're looking for by looking at the ballots? What do you need from those machines? And if the answer is we don't know until we get in there, how scary is that? Coming up in a moment, we are going to talk about a tax that I've discussed before, but more on the economy and something that's coming here that's going to affect a lot of people in Arizona and maybe you and your family. And it's something that needs to be discussed. It's the estate tax or the death tax. What they want to do with this, I think, is one of the most egregious things I've ever heard. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, thanks for being here. So, I don't know, it was a big part of the news, but for me it made my ears perk up. We're going to talk about this a little bit later on in the 11 o'clock hour, but the Twitter account for the audit, for the very controversial audit war room, and the Pennsylvania audit have all been suspended by Twitter. Is that right, Steve?
Yes, the three Twitter accounts that I know of, the two, the one for the Arizona audit, the one for the Pennsylvania audit, and then the war room, whatever that
and
is.
And then that the war room, isn't that the one that keeps, you know, spewing out all the...
offending people? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And then nobody wants to claim who that is. It's someone in another state or whatever.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, now it's been suspended.
From Twitter, yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not a big fan of censorship, I got to tell you. I know it's a private platform. I know they have the right to suspend whoever they want. I don't like it, but... an indicator of what's going on. So we'll talk about that in the 11 o'clock hour very quickly. The new changes to the death tax that the Biden administration wants to put in place, according to a nonpartisan, not bipartisan, nonpartisan group of economists, are saying it's going to cost 1 million jobs in the U.S. The death tax to me is the most ghoulish thing we do as a country. It is literally stealing from the dead. We are grave robbing. Someone works their whole life. They do the right thing. They set things aside. They build up some wealth. They pass it on to their loved ones, usually their children, but definitely their loved ones. And then their loved ones are stuck with this huge tax bill. One of the most egregious stories I've ever heard is I have a friend, not going to say his name. Mother passed away and left him an estate. Now, I don't know how big it was, but apparently it was big enough. And he got hit with so much estate tax that they had to sell off part of the portfolio. Well, a lot of it was real estate. Now, I don't know how much of it, but most of it was real estate. So this, you want to know what a kick in the groin, I almost said this the wrong way, what a kick in the groin these taxes are. Mother passes away, leaves him the family portfolio. He has to sell a bunch of the real estate that his parents had accumulated to pay the government. First, they made him pay capital gains taxes on the real estate and then pay the estate taxes. It is absolutely ghoulish. And they want to increase this. They want to lower the threshold and increase the amount of money it's going to cost. Can you imagine the federal government being so in need of cash because they spend it so fast that we are going to further rob the dead? And here's where it affects a lot of people in Arizona. Yes, there are wealthy people all over the state of Arizona that this might affect. But you also have to remember that it has to do with land as well. If you're a farmer or a rancher, go in the West Valley. Do those farmers look wealthy to you? Well, they're family-owned farms and family-owned businesses that they pass on to their children for generations. Families have owned these places. And what ends up happening is they become sharecroppers because they have to sell off part of their farmland to pay the federal government on money that had already been taxed to their parents or whoever else. But the way the government sees it, well, wait a minute, it's income to you. You didn't make that income. And you say, well, I've worked this land my entire life. I have been a farmer or a rancher. So the Biden administration is doing a carve out, possibly for some small businesses and for some family farms so that they can stay in the family. But they're still going to stick it to, whether it's corporations or otherwise. It is, in my opinion, there's a lot of things about taxation I don't like. And I think that it gets to be oppressive and it's wrong. This is ghoulish. The fact that anyone out there believes, and this is the biggest kind of class warfare that exists. Well, your rich parents, because you hit the gene pool lottery, now you're going to become rich and the government doesn't get to take any of it from you. What does the government have to do with it? It's you punishing the rich. And I would say respectfully to the people that feel that way, if it were you in that scenario, you would gladly pass it on to your children and make them rich. The same people that complain, well, look at these rich people. They buy these kids anything they want. You would do the same thing for your children. It is most people's dream that they can provide a better start for their children or their grandchildren or both than they had. Put them at a better starting place. and for the federal government to believe, and for advocates of the federal government, for active members of Congress to say that this is the right thing to do in taxing the dead, I think it's ghoulish, and I think everyone, I don't care what political party you're in, should fight like crazy to make sure it doesn't happen. Coming up in a moment, just after 11 o'clock, new guidance. Unvaccinated student athletes in the state of Arizona, according to the AIA. We'll talk about that next.